Hey there, this is Rob G from Icons of Fright, and I am back for another special pirate commentary just for you guys. It's for The Warriors, the ultimate director's cut, only because this is the most accessible version of the movie that you probably all own. And with me is the ultimate Warriors fan, Sean Clark from Horrors Hallowed Grounds and Convention All-Stars, correct?
Did I get correct? This
information is all right.
And Horror Hound Magazine.
And Horror Hound Magazine. And the reason I wanted to do this is because, well, one, we haven't done one of these in a while. And two, I watched this version not too long ago on Blu-ray. And then I caught the original theatrical version of The Warriors on the big screen at the New Beverly and just forgot how much I love the original version more.
Oh, yeah.
I just thought, like, man, you know what? I want to talk to somebody who's kind of an expert on this movie that can talk through maybe some of the differences and just kind of give me the rundown on more about the making of this movie, because I don't know that much about it. And obviously, I read your piece in Horror Hound, and thought you would be the man to do this. So for anyone else that's interested, we're going to watch it and hopefully have a good time. So here's the deal. We have the Blu-ray queued up, which you guys should too. We skipped that Walter Hill introduction, and we skipped the rated R thing.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to hit play simultaneously at the, you know, I'm going to count down from three, and we're going to do it so that everybody can watch with us. So here we go. 3, 2, 1, play. Here we go. Paramount logo.
Yes.
I think it's going to start with comic book stuff. I can't remember. But before all that, Sean, why, you know, I know this isn't really a horror movie, but horror fans tend to gravitate and like it, I think, because a lot of the characters and stuff. But why is it one of your favorite movies? What do you remember about seeing it for the first time, and why does it stand out for you?
You know, excuse me. I don't know. I don't know why I gravitated to it. I mean, it's a great film. I mean, that's probably why I gravitated to it. But I just caught this movie on, I think it was cable. Probably 81, maybe 81, 82, around that time. For some reason, back in the day, this movie just played practically on a friggin' loop on cable. I don't remember if it was HBO or whatever it was at the time. Might have been Select TV for all I know. I mean, it was back in the day. But I caught it one day and was just completely just taken by it. And I watched it. I remember I counted, and I was very proud of it. Like, within a year, I'd watched it 14 times.
Wow.
And I just loved the movie. And, in fact, that Halloween, I went as a baseball fury. And
nice.
Just recently, I didn't even know that photos existed of me as a baseball fury from that Halloween. But my grandma uncovered these photos from that Halloween of me in my really poorly done baseball furies. In my mind, I remembered it being the most awesome.
Like, amazing.
Like, yeah. Like, I could have been in the movie. But no, it was really bad. But quite obvious what I was going for. But yeah, I just fell in love with this movie and, you know, have been collecting stuff from it and every friggin' version that's ever come out, you know, since.
Yeah.
And in regards to this version, I'm just going to go on record to say I hate this version.
You've only seen it once, right? Not counting this is your second time.
Yeah, I watched this version one time, and that was plenty for me. And I kept my old DVD copy and will only watch that version now.
Right.
And I hope to God somebody puts out an HD version of the original cut, because it's a shame that it's not out there.
Yeah, I mean, I'm watching this version now on the Blu-ray, and it looks fantastic. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a shame that the theatrical is not included too. Yeah. And also, I think that, if I'm not mistaken, because this had a slightly different intro, I almost remember in the theatrical, the credits were here during the train sequence, whereas they kind of had that little comic book thing. And then it just kind of, you know, said the names of the cast members. I'm not sure how different that is, but just that's a tone thing, because I remember in the theater, like, when it kicked off in the train with the credits, you're like, yes, I'm in this movie now.
Yeah.
And right now I still feel a little off, because I'm like, oh, okay, I guess this is the beginning.
Yeah, I mean, it had a much creepier intro, you know, just the great score. I mean, Barry did an amazing score on this, and it almost has a Halloween 3-ish kind of vibe to the score, which I love. Is one of my favorite scores. But just the real quiet, kind of creepy way the movie starts with the shots of Coney and the subway at night and everything, and this weird 300 artwork comic book crap that they put at the beginning. It just so isn't what this movie is. It's like, I don't know what the hell he was thinking, but it takes you out of that. It can't take you out because you're not in it yet, but but it totally misleads you.
Right.
Into what you're about to see. And I don't really understand what he was thinking. I mean, if you're going to do comic book, he should have gone for a 70s-ish vibe comic.
Yeah,
stick with the era.
Yeah.
I mean, the comic art he used is way too modern computer-looking comic art, you know?
Yeah. Or again, just make both versions available. That's fine if you want to do a director's cut, but let us have the option of watching the original as well.
And it's so easy today. There's so much room on these Blu-rays that it wouldn't have cost more to put an alternate version on there.
Yeah. You know? Now we're meeting all the gangs here. What were you like when you were a kid? Because I caught this on cable a lot too, and I'd only catch pieces of it. But what was your initial reaction to this? Because I felt like I was watching almost like a post-apocalyptic version of New York, although it's not. It's not that setting at all. It's just, I guess, being from New York, I was not this privy to gangs being this colorful and eccentric.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's what stands out about it, is there's a whole group of different characters. And, I mean, did you always relate to the Warriors, or did you kind of go back and forth between Baseball Furies one day and then, you know, one of the other gangs another, or what?
Well, my favorite gang in the movie was definitely the Furies.
Yeah.
Just the imagery, you know, being a huge Kiss fan and everything. It just, you know. But, I mean, you're rooting for the Warriors, of course. But, yeah, you know, I think that's the thing that I loved about this movie, is I couldn't relate to these characters or these gangs. It was like, it was completely foreign to me. It feels like another planet, you know, which, you know, is very comic bookish.
Yeah.
It's a very comic book sort of vibe. Are these guys scary? Are these guys threatening? I don't know. As they wear matching tank tops? I doubt it, you know? But there's definitely, if these gangs showed up today, they'd get laughed off the street, you know?
Right.
But, you know, it's a movie, you know? It's a fantasy world, you know? We're you know, getting away from reality.
Did you ever read the book? Because we just saw the credits for the screenplay, and then before that, the original novel.
I never did.
So yeah, I'm curious how different the novel is from this version, but I feel like this is its own thing.
Yeah, I'm sure they're very different, but I haven't read it. I should. I need to read more. Period. I've got stacks and stacks of books I've never read. I'm one of these days. I'm going to break my legs and just be forced to read them.
Forced
all.
To read. Yeah. Now, who were obviously over the years, because of Convention All-Stars, you've managed to track down a lot of these people and the locations as well, which is what went into your Horrorhound piece. So, like, walk us through that process. Who's the first person that you found in the Warriors and convinced to kind of come out to the conventions?
Gosh, that's a good question. I don't remember. I'm not sure. I know that the first time I did a show with them, I did a full reunion.
Okay.
And it was basically, that was at Chiller Theater in New Jersey. This was probably 2006.
Okay.
And it was Michael Beck, Deborah Van Valkenburg, Dorsey Wright, who we see here, Terry Mikos, who played Vermin, Brian Tyler, who played Snow. This guy is elusive. Tom McKintrick, who played Cowboy. He, for whatever reason, has zero interest in doing conventions.
Huh. What about some of those other ones? Were they a little either reluctant or and then surprised that this movie has such a cult following.
Yeah, they were all very I think they were all kind of reluctant, and then they, which is the case with almost any celebrity I approach. At first they're like, you know, I don't know about this, and they try it and they realize it's a lot of fun.
Yeah,
I mean, it's, you know, what's you know, fans coming up to you all weekend telling you how great you are and handing you money. There's no, yeah, there's no downside to that. So, and this guy, he was at my first reunion as well, Roger Hill, who just recently passed away, sadly. such a sweet guy, but would not, no matter what, no matter how hard you tried, would not say, "Can you dig it?" He would not do it. And he got asked by every fan that walked up, "Dude, come on, man. What can you dig it?" And he's like, "No, thank you very much." It's very soft spoken.
Yeah, when I saw it at the New Bev a few months ago, just every time he said it, huge laugh from the entire audience. And no, we're not laughing at him. We're just, there's something cool about it, so we're just laughing kind of along with the movie and having fun.
Oh man, I was talking with James Remar, who plays Ajax, recently about this performance, Roger Hill, and he was like, he said that when this was happening, that all the actors were in awe. I mean, in awe in a good way. Like, because he was a stage actor, classically trained stage actor. And I mean, really, the way he delivers this speech is powerful. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's, he gives a great performance here.
Yeah.
And he's only in the movie for a couple minutes.
Yeah.
And yet his character is one of the standouts, most quoted in the film ever, you know? I mean, I love when he's the little piece of turf, you know. I mean, he's just, the way he does it, his hand gestures and everything. I mean, he's phenomenal. And James was saying, just like, they were all just blown away by how great he was.
Right. Now, are all these locations originally in New York? Or did they shoot the whole movie there? Because I know you do a lot of research when it comes to locations.
Yeah, the entire film was shot in New York. This is supposed to be the Bronx, I believe, in the movie. It's supposed to be the Bronx, but this is actually Riverside Park in Manhattan.
Mm-hmm.
Right behind him, from where he's standing right there, is basically jungle gyms and swings and stuff like that now. But where all the gangs are standing in front of him on that, right there on those walls and everything, that's like all just like a walkway and restrooms underneath.
Wow.
It's just a little area of Riverside Park.
When I think of like the, you know, I watch a lot of movies now thinking about the filmmaking side of things and like how complicated it must have been to organize and orchestrate this many extras for one scene, you know? Do you know anything about when they shot this? Did any of the actors talk to you about it?
Well, I do know that almost all those extras were actual gang members.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. they were really surprised that they didn't have any problems, with, you know, the gangs fighting and stuff. I know they had some problems.
Ajax doesn't look happy about this.
Ajax is never happy. I know they had some problems at one point when they were filming in a neighborhood with some gangs threatening to like steal their equipment and shit, and they shook them down for money pretty much, and I guess they paid them off just to like
leave them alone.
Yeah, to leave them alone. There it is, piece of turf. That's great. That's crap, brothers. why is his name escaping me? Who plays Fox, Thomas Waits, who also played Windows and John Carpenter's The Thing.
Oh, yeah.
He was a problem on this movie.
Really?
I mean, he's a nice guy. Mm-hmm. One of the guys I do work with.
Mm-hmm.
But he apparently was a problem and was fired during the filming of this movie. And I'll come back to that later in some of the scenes where he was replaced. But originally, in the original script, the character of Fox was supposed to end up with Mercy, Deborah Von Valkenburg's character.
Wow.
It wasn't supposed to be Swan and Mercy. It was supposed to be Fox. But he was such a problem that Walter Hill fired him, and they rewrote the script to have Swan and Mercy end up together.
Wow. Never would have thought.
Yeah. Yeah, so, yeah, apparently they had issues with him. Now, I love this guy. This is another David Patrick Kelly. Unfortunately, another guy that hasn't been convinced to do the convention thing, and he would kill it if he did.
Oh, my God. He's he's a fantastic character actor. I mean, not just this, but it's funny. It's like when I was a little kid, I had a rather large head. Mm-hmm. The elementary school kids and junior high used to call me Luther, which is his character from 48 Hours.
Yeah.
They're like, yo, man, you look like Luther. I'm mm-hmm. like, okay. But this, and of course, The Crow, and I think he kind of steals The Adventures of Ford Fairlane. Mm-hmm. He's in so many great...
Twin Peaks.
I forgot about that. Yeah, he's in Twin Peaks.
But you know his character's name, Luther, in this movie as well.
Oh, wow. Maybe that's... when was 48 Hours? Was it before?
It was right after. Walter Hill reused several people from The Warriors. Hill also directed 48 Hours.
Oh, that's right.
Ajax, James Remar, played Gans.
Oh, my God.
Also Marcel, who plays Rembrandt in The Warriors. He was... I think he was like a parking attendant in the movie.
Yeah.
So, he went back and used a few of those guys. Now, it's funny. It's like Dorsey here, Cleon, he's not in the movie very long. You know, he dies here in the opening scene. And, he's a great character. It's kind of a shame that he didn't last longer in the film. Mm-hmm. Now, I never liked Rembrandt. I never liked what a pussy he was. I mean, he really is. I mean, he's always kind of, crying about something. But unfortunately, he passed away not too long after 48 Hours. I think it was late 80s, early 90s. I had heard a rumor that he was involved in some sort of robbery and was shot.
Oh, wow.
But I was told by James Remar that he passed away from complications of AIDS. I don't know if that was ever public. I didn't research it since I heard that, but bottom line is he's no longer with us. Unfortunate. I always thought he kind of looked like Paul Stanley from Kiss.
Yeah.
You know,
he
like
does
a Latino Paul, Puerto Rican Paul Stanley. So,
man, he's holding his own here.
Yeah. He's going to stand a chance against all those Kung Fu guys.
Up until this point, he was the leader of the Warriors, correct?
Yeah, he was the war chief. No longer war chief. Another guy that Walter Hill reused in 48 Hours, I forgot. Sonny Landman, who was in Predator. Mm. He played Gans's right-hand man, the big Indian-looking dude.
Oh, okay.
He plays a cop in one of a very small scene in The Warriors. I'll point him out later.
Cool.
Yeah, everybody loved Ajax. I remember when I was a little kid, I said, if I ever have a kid, I'm naming him Ajax.
Yeah, it's weird that's the character. And, it's funny because I think, I've met James Remar before. He's a very nice guy and a great, great actor. And I think he might have initially been one of those people that was hesitant to kind of embrace his... I don't think he realized how cool he is in this movie.
Yeah.
He says some questionable things in character, but we let it slide. Mm. It's you were telling me recently he did do a convention and kind of was surprised by how much people liked this character and him in general.
Oh yeah, he was really shocked at how much people loved him, that's why he was hesitant. I mean, I talked to him about doing conventions in person, excuse me, about 6 years ago. And he was like, not interested, just completely didn't have any interest. But then out of the blue one day, he calls me up. Mm-hmm. I had no idea. He got my number from one of my other clients, John Bernthal from Walking Dead.
Mm-hmm.
They're buddies. They box together. Wow. And he said, John speaks the world of you. You're the guy. I'm like, oh, okay. I'm like, cool.
Yes.
Yeah. And I was like, very happy. This is Evergreen Cemetery in New York. This is where this scene was shot. It's funny because everything, that they say that they're going to map-wise, mm-hmm. where they're really at, is just would never work. And it's all over the place.
Which is, so how, you know, how do you, I mean, you, you do a lot of this with a lot of research when it comes to horror's hallowed grounds in general, but like, for example, this movie, how do you find all these spots? Like what's the research process like?
Oh God. I mean, I'll tell you what, when I first started doing it back in like 94, it mm-hmm. was ridiculous. It was a lot of just looking for street signs, and as you know, technology has gotten better and Blu-rays in high definition, I can read things a little clearer than I did back on my VHS copies or laser discs. But yeah, I mean, it was a lot of just kind of looking for store signs and street signs and, you know, trying to find out where those places were. It mm-hmm. was a lot harder than it is now with the internet.
See, but do you take pictures? Because the thing is, when you do a lot of your Horrors Hallowed Grounds episodes or even your write-ups, like, you find, like, the exact same camera angle and, like, the exact corner and stuff. You know what I mean? Like, I watch movies a lot, but I don't remember those kind of specifics. So, I mean, do you take pictures of it, or do you just have, like, this ridiculous photographic memory for film?
What I used to do mm-hmm. was I brought an old shitty laptop with me and had done screen captures.
Okay.
What I do now is I actually have a, you know, portable Blu-ray player I take with me, and I just watch the scenes and freeze frame it and try to match them up and stuff. Sometimes I don't have that luxury. Mm-hmm. If I don't have something with me, I'll just go off of memory, and I will take as many pictures as I can from various angles and hope that I get close to the what was the screenshot.
Mm-hmm.
Oh God, see that kind of, this is like
no need for that transition.
There's no need for this transition at all. What's the point?
I don't get it. I think, you know, it's funny because I think Walter says in his intro that he didn't think some of this was clear enough. But you know what? Like I said, when I saw theatrical a while back, people had no problem figuring out who these guys were and how it related to the story. I don't, you know, there's no need for those transitions there.
Yeah, I don't know. It's silly. It just doesn't match. I mean, just like the look of it does not match at all. And it's, I don't know. I don't understand why filmmakers do this crap. George Lucas, Spielberg, always people going back and trying to remake their movies. It's just, you know what? Let it be. There's no need for it. I mean, if you want to go back and add in scenes that you shot that you'd left out and do a director's cut kind of thing, that's cool, but don't go back and change stuff.
Yeah.
Or try to create new stuff. We don't need that, you know?
Yeah, we have our memory of it when we first saw it, so.
Yeah, and the worst part of it is the arrogance to not allow the fans to have the versions they love.
Yeah.
Like how, you know, this fight with George Lucas all these years, just give us the fucking Star Wars we saw when we were kids. That's what we want, you know?
Yeah. Well, I'm sure that's inevitable now with Disney involved, so hopefully.
Those versions will come out. But, I mean, I still got my Laserdisc box set with the original cut, so I'm, you know, I'm holding on those prime out of my cold, dead hands.
Did this ever make it onto Laserdisc or anything like that?
The Warriors?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It was on Laserdisc. I had it on laser. You know, the as of right now, the copy to own is the DVD, the first DVD.
The original issue.
Yeah, that has the widescreen theatrical cut. and I believe it's that version. Does one of the versions have all the television scenes, the cut scenes? I know I personally cut together an ultimate cut from the TV version and the regular version myself as a fan.
I didn't know that, you know, is this like a Halloween situation where there's extra scenes for the TV version? Because I've never heard of that at all.
The original version of The Warriors opens, the television version opens during the day at Coney Island with a girl, and it's Cleon's girlfriend. And she's asking him not to go, you know, she doesn't want them to go. And then he basically tells her, you know, I'm going, we have to go. And then he has a meeting with all his guys. And there's like a famous still, actually, if you look over just above the pinball machine there, mm-hmm. that shot of them in front of that with the Warriors sign on the building,
mm-hmm.
that is from that opening scene during the day. There's a giant Warriors logo. It was across the, what was actually, I believe it's pronounced Stosh. It's S-T-A-U-H or something. Mm-hmm. Stosh's bathhouse. It's no longer there today. It's been torn down, but it was on the, on at Coney Island on the boardwalk.
Wow.
And, so that whole scene is gone, and there was some other... Oh,
there they are, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Jerry Hewitt. Jerry Hewitt plays the main baseball fury. I have tried so hard to get him to do conventions. He's a stunt coordinator, a very successful one.
Well, at least you've met him, though, right?
No, I've never met him.
Oh, man.
Only talked to him on the phone. Actually got him to commit to a chiller theater once, and then he canceled.
Oh, wow.
So
yeah, he'd be huge.
He has no idea. He has no idea how huge he'd be.
I think he's, of all the characters, he's got to be the most, the one that most people dress up for, you know, Halloween or,
oh, for
or
sure.
You know. And I'm trying to think of other movies. Like I just broke out a copy of a movie called Murder Party, which mm-hmm. I watched a few years ago. It's the guys that did Blue Ruin most recently.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes place on a Halloween party night. So one of them is dressed up as the main Fury guy.
Oh, no. Sorry. My dogs are losing their mind.
All right. Where are we now? What part of town is this?
You know what? This location... I hate that animated lightning, by the way. It's just so distracting. JC, shut up! Sorry. This is what happens when you do stuff at your house.
Yeah.
She passed away, too. There's another swipe that's, you know, not from the original.
Yeah.
Pause.
Yeah, wait. Sure.
So this area here, actually, this platform or the stairs to this platform no longer exists. I mean, the sort of the structure itself is still there. It was really hard for me to find. I can't remember off the top of my head what street this was,
mm-hmm.
but basically where they run to and they go up to that station, it's been closed and those stairs aren't there anymore. So it was really difficult for me to match up, but I did find it eventually. Just can't remember exactly off the top of my head what it was. There was so many streets and, you know, I'm not from New York like yourself, so I don't know. I can't remember a name.
Even I'd have trouble with it though.
Yeah. But I definitely went into some sketchy areas doing that article. I don't know what issue of Horror Hound my Warriors article is in, but all the info is in there. Although you could find all that stuff online nowadays.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that's one thing that's about what I do. Like back in the day, I was mm-hmm. the only guy doing it.
Yeah.
And now tons of guys are doing it. I mean... more power to them. I don't feel like anybody's copying me. I'm not the guy that invented the idea by any means, but mm-hmm. I'm the first guy that, you know, kind of made it a thing, I guess.
Right.
But there's a guy named Rob, I think it's Patterson, I believe is his name.
Mm-hmm.
And he's probably more hardcore than me. I mean, he reminds me of me back when I first started doing it. And he just goes everywhere, and he's already done a friggin' article on Annabelle.
Oh, wow.
he did a locations article on Annabelle before the movie opened. That's and I was ridiculous. Like, Jesus, dude, you were like into it, you know?
That is hardcore.
Yeah. But, actually, you know what? He mentioned wanting to like work with me, and you know, I may bring him in to help do articles. Cause I don't have the time to do them mm-hmm. like I used to. Like, in fact, Horror Hound's hitting issue number 50 this next coming issue, mm-hmm. and I think I'm going to miss it just because I've been too busy.
Well, and also, I feel like, you know, the reason this doing this sort of thing stands out is because, you know, you're searching locations for some of your favorite films, the films you grew up on.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're kind of running out of favorite films. Like, I mean, I guess you've done all the main ones you'd really want to do.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, do you want to do an Annabelle tour? I mean, that's cool if somebody does, but...
Well, you know, and as far as, you know, I've also sort of kind of pigeonholed myself because of horror's hallowed grounds. I've kind of made it like, okay, it needs to be horror, and mm-hmm. it needs to be what we would consider hallowed ground. It has to be a classic, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, of course I've strayed away from that here and there, but, you know, doing one of the things I think makes my article's interesting is it's a retrospective and it's looking back. Yeah. You know, to me, it's not as interesting to do something like Annabelle because it's not a retrospective yet. You know, right. It's new.
These are all time capsules. I mean, that's, yeah. You know, you're used to seeing it a certain way, and then you see the modern pictures of it, and I don't know, there's something cool about that. You just see, and you're like, oh man, it's still there. I still see the essence of that movie that I love in that location, even though it doesn't look the same anymore.
Yeah. And anyway, I just kind of, you know, I mean, he's doing it for, you know, getting the information out there. Hey, if you're a fan of this movie and you want to go see where the house was, that's cool. And yeah. I'm totally for all of that. But the essence of what my article is more of a, let's take a look back at a classic vibe.
Right.
So anyway, they just got away from the Turnbull ACs, mm-hmm. which is another one of the cooler gangs. Another swipe that wasn't in the film. Weird comic booky swipe. But.
Yeah. But again, it looks so good.
Oh,
the picture itself, yeah. I'm saying, not the swipe.
Yeah. I love the look of this film. The DP, his name's escaping me at the moment. He passed away recently. Mm-hmm. Which is breaks my heart because I'd been saying for a while that if I get back to making film, I was like trying to think of who I'd want to DP my movie, and I was like, you know what, this guy, and why can't I remember his friggin' name off the top of my head?
Andrew
Laszlo. Laszlo. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I found this place. See the glass company sign? See with the phone number? That's how I found this location. Really? Yeah. That glass company, I believe, is still there. And,
oh, my God.
And the little market they go to here is now like a Dunlop tire store or something.
Holy smokes.
Yeah.
That's fun. That's got to be fun, the kind of the once you discover a spot and realize, mm-hmm. oh, my God, this is totally what it is. Like actually finding these little spots.
Yeah. The one guy here, the other rogue, so he's... Luther is the main rogue, but
we'll just call him Luther.
But this guy here, he's become a friend, and he does a lot. He lives in New York. He does a lot of the chiller shows.
Oh, cool.
He's a cool guy. But it's funny. It's like, you think there's so many people from this damn movie that you could potentially meet. Like, you know, like one day, I forgot how it happened. I think maybe he was a friend of his, of Joel. I think his name's Joel. One of the Lizzies contacted me and she did a convention. She did a chiller and, you know, I mean, hey, she was only, you know, in one, you know, scene, but you know, she's a Lizzie, you know, so I'll point her out when we get to her.
Yeah.
Her name's Dee Dee. Sorry about my dog. My dog is just going berserk. I mean, you still hear him. At least I got him out of the house. So he's not, but he's going nuts like this. Year. For what? I always thought she was kind of hot.
Yeah.
Why are you ruining that great scene?
I know. Meanwhile,
back in the ghetto.
Yeah.
Now the orphans.
Yeah, I got to ask you a little bit about your experiences with Michael Beck because I've never met him before, but like, man, what an interesting career. Like, and I don't mean that in a sarcastic or ironic way at all. Like, between doing The Warriors and then Xanadu, which, believe it or not, I actually love quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was in Megaforce. Like, he did, like, some weird-ass movies the same stretch of time, but that are all kind of cult movies and really cool.
I can't remember the name of the movie, but he was in this really cool, like, two-part movie on Alcatraz, and it was really good.
I will look it up, what
the name is, but he was a great actor.
Yeah.
I really don't know why he didn't do much more. The funny thing is, claim to fame, I guess, or something that's followed him around a bit is, you know, he looked a lot like Andy Gibb, mm-hmm. a lot like Andy Gibb back in the day, you know, and I don't know if that hurt him or this guy also passed away, the leader of the orphans.
Oh, man.
Something Greco was his name. Paul Greco, I think. But his right-hand man there with the afro, that's Apache Ramos. And he also did the reunion with us. And he's cool, man. Such a cool guy. And he was an actual gang member. Uh-huh. He had lots of stories. He was one of the gang members they recruited for the movie. This is the only thing he ever did. But Apache is a cool cat, a really good guy.
The orphans, oh man, funny. These characters.
And I love dudes that embrace their characters and have fun with it. Because like Apache, man, he would any opportunity he could to go, "We're gonna rain on you, warriors!" He would yell it. He's a good guy.
And that Michael Beck movie was Alcatraz, The Whole Shocking Story.
Yeah. Who else 1980. Was in that? Someone else significant was in that, I think.
Michael Beck, Art Carney.
Art Carney, yeah.
Telly Savalas.
Yeah. No, it was a good movie. It was a good movie. Michael is great in it.
Yeah.
And it was finally the whole shocking story was told, finally. they only touched on it in the Eastwood version. They just touched on it. You get the whole shocking story.
And isn't Michael in, is it Kiss Kiss Bang Bang? Am I mixing up the movie? Yeah, I think it's uncredited, but they talk about the guy from Xanadu, and it's Michael Beck. And then there's like some TV show that somebody's auditioning for. I'll look it up after, but I'm 99% sure it's Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. And he's not credited for it, but it's actually an amazing cameo as himself.
I don't know about that.
But what's he been like, at the conventions and just in general?
Michael is one of the kindest, most humble, sweetheart of a guy. I mean, really hardcore Christian, really into his belief and, just a real, just all around good person. Love him. And we've done many, many conventions together. And then Deborah, she's great too.
Hey now.
Yeah. I'm sorry. As a young man, I had no problem with that semi see-through top she was wearing there. And I was more in love though with her sister from Too Close for Comfort.
That's right.
Lydia Cornell, who I had a huge crush on back in the day, but Deborah, she's cool too. She's a real tough chick.
Yeah. Very foxy in this.
Yeah. Come on now. come on, Mercy. Come on now. Yeah, she's great in this too. I mean, I've quoted that line for years. I would say real tough chick. I'd say that to various females that would get lippy.
Now, when you talk to a lot of these cast members, did they get the movie while they were making it? Because I feel like this is a hard pitch, a hard sell to kind of you can never describe, mm-hmm. quote-unquote, a cult movie. And obviously, this is so different from anything else that came out at the time. So did they even have any inkling that they were making something that would be unique for this time period?
I don't think so much. I think, quite honestly, they were all just happy to have a job.
Right.
Because none of them were names. I mean, none of these are name actors. They were all just people wanting to get acting work, and they were just thrilled they were making a feature, mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure this was before Too Close for Comfort as well. So Deborah hadn't taken off yet. This was James Remar's, first thing, or was his first film. It was his first film, wasn't it? Or no, his second, I think. I think it might've been like his second film. I think he did one other thing before this, but for the most part, he was green which is great because I think recognizable actors would have taken you right out of the movie almost as bad as like bad cartoon panels will. So I just love some of the lines in this movie, like these lame fucks. And let's face it, as politically incorrect as Ajax's lines are, he has the best lines in the movie. I don't care. It was a time period where that kind of talk was acceptable. And,
yeah.
And you know what? If you don't like it, maybe you're all just going faggot. Oh, there you go. I'm going to get a lot of hate mail for that one.
It's just a joke.
I'm quoting the movie.
He's quoting the movie.
I found this location. It's geographically, it was very correct to the subway station that they run to next. Mm-hmm. It was literally right around the corner as they, you know, as shot in the movie, which is rare when you know, usually it cuts to them going around a corner and then it's 20 miles away, you know.
Right.
But this was one of those sketchy areas, as I recall. And I was freezing my ass off, too, because it was like it was snow on the ground a little bit. And I'm from California and I'm always wearing shorts. So, but yeah, it took me a while to find this one. But I was having, and I went and did it all by myself, too. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to find people that are interested in doing this crap, you know. Like, I remember I went to England. Mm-hmm. With my then significant other and my best friend and his wife. And we went to England and they wanted to go to all these famous museums and, you know, historical places. And I'm like, I want to go to the subway station from American Werewolf in London. I want to find the tunnel where the old man gets beat up in Clockwork Orange. I mean, that's what I cared about.
Right.
And they were really not thrilled with me, and pretty much they went to museums and I went to movie locations. Right. That's how.
So at least you found it. You found this place.
Oh, I found them. Yeah, but I found them on my own because they didn't want to go with me.
Wow.
Yeah. I got the big one, Terry. Now Terry is a cool guy. Terry is actually a newscaster.
In
somewhere in New York, New Jersey. He's like a weatherman,
mm-hmm.
and. Such a nice guy. And Brian, who plays Snow, another just sweetheart of a guy. He's actually a cop. He's a badass too. You don't want to screw with him. David Harris, David still, you know, in the acting game, I believe, very active in the convention thing. He's the one who probably embraces the whole convention thing the most. real nice guy. But, yeah, I'm sorry. You don't tear anything this easy. There it is. Go rain on you, warriors.
Yeah, you can't really take the orphans that seriously. That'll scare them off.
A little bit of fire. They're like, fire, fire bad. And I found this place because of that sign that was on that building there.
Oh, yeah. Is that still there?
I think it at least gave me an address or something. And that this is right around the corner. This station really hasn't changed. I was pretty stoked to find this place.
Yeah.
They get up there pretty quick. And that is they were really bolting. But, oh, man.
What about some of your collectibles over the years in terms of this movie? Because I'm staring at one of the... This is an actual jacket,
mm-hmm.
screen worn and everything.
Screen worn vest from the Warriors. My dog just will not give up. my dog is driving me absolutely nuts. I'm going to shut the window. David Harris, every cast member had three vests.
Mm-hmm.
And he sold his other two and he had one left and he's had it for, well, I guess he's had it since the movie, but since I knew him, it took me, it took me like 7 years to convince him to sell it to me. I was just one of those things where it's like, it's the last one I have. I don't, you know.
Right.
And I finally convinced him, you know, or my money convinced him, more or less.
But it's framed here, displayed in your place.
I've always wanted a real Warriors vest. As a fan of the film, I mean, that is kind of the ultimate collectible.
Did you wear it before you framed it? That's the question.
Okay.
Honest.
Oh, I tried it on.
Okay.
But take a look at David Harris, Cochise, in this movie. He is a skinny, slender man, and I am not. And if I tried to move my arms forward, I probably would have split the thing down the back. Yeah, it's quite small. And in fact, I think it is like a size small or medium. Oh. I mean, it's tiny. But it's pretty cool because on the inside, it says, like, on the inside of the neck, you know how they would write in the characters' names or whatever, and it says Cochise.
Oh, nice.
This is a location nobody has been able to find, that gas station.
Right.
Warriors fans online, nobody can find it. Whatever it was, it must have been long torn down because it's just not there anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I was pretty stoked to get that from him. Funny story. I was at a convention in the green room and just chilling. And all of a sudden, I'm listening to a conversation at the table next to me. And his name is Michael Rosenbaum, I believe. He played Lex Luthor in Smallville.
Yeah.
He's sitting over there and he's starting to quote Warriors lines.
Right.
Right. And I go, you know, what's going on over there, you know? And I kind of interject in the conversation. And he just saying how it's his all-time favorite movie.
Uh-huh.
And him and his dad quote the movie constantly.
Oh, wow.
And anyway, you know, he's saying, dude, I've got all this. I've got the action figures. I've got the poster. He's telling me all this. I go, yeah, well, I guess I got something. I got you beat. He goes, what? I go, I got you beat. And he steps to me. That was Sonny, Sonny Landman, by the way.
Oh, the cop, yeah.
Was one of those cops. this here, I'll get back to that story. This here, even though it says 96th Street Station, this is actually the Hoyt Station. And if you look closely on some of the subway walls where the subways pass, you'll see the words Hoyt. That's Sonny Landman, right? Oh, wait, no, that wasn't him. Sorry. I think he was one of the first ones they showed. See if they show him again. But anyway, this is the Hoyt Station, not 96th Street. No, not Sonny. I'm looking for Sonny. I looked away right when they showed the cops. I know he's one of the cops, the first cops they show standing there.
Right.
Sonny Landman. That's how he talks. But anyway, see this here? That is not Deborah. See how that guy's hiding himself?
Oh, yeah.
The bad wig? Because this is where he had gotten fired, and they added the scene to basically kill him off.
Yeah. I always thought this was an odd scene.
Yeah.
Only because I'm like, because he gets killed, and it's almost like nobody cares.
Yeah. You can tell it. Yeah, that is not him. That would be a stuntman anyway. But yeah,
he's totally gone.
They killed the character because he was a problem on set.
Wow.
Now that was Hoyt Station. Now they ran outside when they run outside, it's actually 72nd Street Station, right across the street from my favorite Gray's Papaya.
Yeah.
Great hot dogs.
This is the worst.
Yeah.
Cause
I mean, why? Why are you doing this? This is terrible. But.
I mean, I'm telling you, again, when I saw this theatrically and these guys just walk up, you're just like, man, but there's no need for those.
Yeah. I mean, you just kind of ruined the suspense with that.
Yeah, totally,
you know?
Took it away.
It's terrible.
We need to lobby for the theatrical cut to be released.
Seriously, there should be a petition or something. And if they do a special edition, I would love to work on it. I would love to do the bonus features. I mean, I know all the dudes.
You know everybody.
I'll do
involved.
A Horrors Hall of Grounds. Let's do it. Come on, Paramount. Are you listening? Walter Hill? Come on. Let's do it. So now they actually run down, I believe, 71st Street, I think, is where they run down. And then it changes to like 100th Street.
Mm-hmm.
Like this is like 100th Street now. It cuts to. But let me get back to the Michael Rosenbaum story.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So you told him you got him beat.
I got him beat. And he steps to me, seriously, inch from my nose. And he goes, don't tell me you have a fucking vest. And I go, I do. And he's all, he goes, fuck you. Fuck bullshit. Bullshit. And I pull up on the phone, my phone, a picture of it hanging on my wall. And he basically goes, dude, if you ever decide to sell it, he gives me his phone number and his email. He goes, you call me. I want it.
Wow.
And I said, okay. I said, sir, I'll keep you in mind. If I ever get in a pinch, which won't happen,
right?
I will get in touch with you. So anyway, he's a cool guy. Michael's a cool guy. He's awesome.
Huge fanboy for this stuff.
Yeah, I don't work with him. He works with someone else, but you know, I just met him at, I see him at the conventions occasionally.
Yeah.
So this is where they're running through now is another part of Riverside Park where the conclave was in the beginning with Cyrus. But, you know, there's actually two different people that played the main Baseball Fury.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there was another guy in other scenes with the same makeup, but for the most part, it's Jerry Hewitt. And Jerry's credited for it. There is one black Baseball Fury, if you look closely. I think he's the one with the purple, half-purple face, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
But
they're by far the coolest looking.
I mean, come on. Yeah. I mean, if you think about it, though. Yeah, see that? Did you see that blurry one running up?
Yeah.
That was the other Baseball Fury, other guy that played the main one. I think that's the black Baseball Fury, I believe. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, could you imagine every day having to get up and put on your baseball uniform and makeup? Oh, here's the black sea. That's another. Yeah, there's a couple of them. Or it might be the same guy, just in different makeup, because they switched it up a lot, you know, to make it look like there was more of them. but yeah, such a cool idea.
So. And is all still the same park?
Yeah, this is all Riverside Park. If you're familiar with it, it runs for many, many blocks along the side of the numbered streets, like 100 all the way down to like, God, I forgot how far it runs. It's a long, skinny park,
mm-hmm.
and just various areas. This is by far the best scene in the movie. I, when I was a kid, I used to mimic his movements perfectly, sliding the baseball bat down my arm. I do not like how quickly he got beat up, though. I mean, it could have been a better battle.
Right.
You know, for such a sinister looking, I mean, let's face it, he's the only Fury that really kind of looks cool.
Right.
The rest of them just kind of look, I don't know, like that guy. Come on. He doesn't look cool. You know, for whatever reason, Jerry Hewitt just looked great.
Yeah.
He kind of reminded me of Keith Gordon, like if Keith Gordon from Christine was in Baseball Fury makeup, that's what he would look like for some reason. I don't know. I don't know why. Although Keith Gordon never came off very tough. But, like, this guy puts up a better fight than the main Fury did.
Yeah.
Such a cool scene.
Yeah, this could be the highlight of the movie. And now they've got their bats.
Yeah. Man, I'd hate to be a warrior during the winter. They must get chilly just wearing their vests, you know? But another swipe.
Right.
Now, this woman, who was the DJ, mm-hmm. you never actually see her face, you just see her lips, she passed away years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Cancer, I believe. Her name was something Thigpen. I can't remember.
Did she do anything else other than this movie?
She did. Or? She did do other movies where you could see her whole face.
So. Oh, there it is.
See, look, on the wall there, mm-hmm. if you look, see it says Union.
Yeah.
If you looked at the wall that the subway is now covering up, it said Hoyt. It's actually the Hoyt station. So. The kind of stuff that you wouldn't have noticed back in the day on bad VHS copies.
At what point did they start doing, you know, because I remember in the last several years they were like, they finally put out like Warriors action figures and I guess started merchandising this movie a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember at what point that like started to happen where there was like, oh, this is kind of a cult thing and now they're going to kind of capitalize on that?
God, I don't remember when it really started. See the girl with the umbrella?
Mm-hmm.
That's Dee Dee. Now that's the only scene where they covered up the Hoyt. She's on the far left there. That's Dee Dee.
Mm-hmm.
She's cool. That was the only scene where they covered up the Hoyt ones with Union on those walls.
Yeah.
And here's a very young Mercedes Rule before she was like an Academy Award. I don't know if she was a winner or nominee, but
and Ajax's downfall.
Yeah. Ajax falls to some strange wool. that's another great line. Strange wool. I mean, never heard vagina called strange wool, but hey, why not?
Come on, he has to know that this is not a good idea. Girl in the middle of the park, in the middle of the night, alone.
Yeah, but, it kind of, it works because it just proves that Ajax isn't the sharpest tool in the shed.
Yeah.
But in a way, he probably gets off easy by getting arrested. Yeah. He doesn't, maybe he got beat up by the cops a little bit. But, I mean, there's a bigger threat out there for sure.
Yeah. And there's always this little power play between him and Michael Beck in terms of who's the new leader, so to speak. Yeah. So
that's the great line. Maybe y'all just go and fag it. But then he just comes off so helpful. Like, you okay, lady?
Yeah.
You all right? You sure you're all right? See that belt buckle?
Yeah.
He still has it.
Oh, cool.
He said that's the one thing that he still has from the movie.
Wow.
So I will do my best to
get the
to get him to part with it. He said he gave his vest to, I think it was like an ex-girlfriend's little brother. And he like totally regrets it now.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
Should call and get it back.
Michael told me he still has his vest.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. I mean, it would be pretty sweet to have Swan's vest.
Yeah, that's like the...
No offense, David. I mean, I'm cool with having Cochise's vest, but come on, Swan or Ajax?
It's kind of the real deal right there.
Yeah. But hey, I'd take Cochise's vest over, say, Rembrandt's or Cowboys. All right, if I want to get into the pecking order here.
Yeah.
Dude, my dog is completely berserk. I don't know if you can still hear him faintly barking in the background, but...
A little bit.
My dog is mentally retarded, I think.
I think your dog is just jealous and wants to watch the Warriors with us.
You know what he does? He chases flies in the backyard. Like, they land on the ground, and he chases and barks at them. And I don't know what he thinks he's accomplishing, but it keeps him in shape. He runs around.
Oh, and that's it. Handcuffed.
Yeah. Come on, lady.
I'm pretty sure we're going to see the cops give him a couple of unnecessary taps before we cut.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly.
We get to see a young Erwin Keyes.
Oh.
From House of a Thousand Corpses. And Friday the 13th. He plays one of the cops.
Oh,
he's
cool.
The one that one that clubs him in the belly.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Keep an eye out for that now.
Yeah. He'll be showing up here shortly. You don't want to mess with me. And believe me, I was hoping I could find this bench. But the benches have long been replaced in this park.
Yeah. Man, he's...
come on. He sells it good.
Remar's
a great actor. Always has been.
Yeah.
And here comes Erwin out of the back seat. That's him. Yeah, he's
that's right.
He's got a unique look. You can't miss him.
Oh man, that's awesome.
Yeah. I always thought the blood was a little too red, but that's all right.
They hit him that hard, Sean.
Fucking wimps.
Yeah.
I remember being so bummed when he was basically
AJ. Yeah, he's out of the movie now.
He's out of the movie. Because he was my favorite character, man, when I was a kid. I was like, no, man. Shit. Ah.
But, that's
crap. I tell you, this is painful to watch, Rob. I hated this so much when I saw it.
Yeah.
And I would never show somebody this version if I was trying to turn them on to... See, it says 96th Street Station. This is back to... It's actually the 72nd Street Station across the street from Gray's Papaya. So that's what he's walking into. So pretty much whenever you see the subway, the exterior is 72nd Street, the interior is Hoyt.
Mm-hmm.
There's a line at the Hoyt station that's abandoned. There's an abandoned line. You can see it from the public platform, but they only use it now for filming. And interesting tidbit, the same station where the famous music video "Bad" by Michael Jackson was shot.
Whoa.
Yeah. Not sure if they shot Fat there.
But, probably.
But, probably. Knowing Weird Al, he probably found out where it was, but it's where they shot Bad.
Wow.
Real tough chick. I know this movie way too well.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Deborah's great. I met her once at a convention. I think it was a Chiller convention. Mm-hmm. And had her sign. I have a giant Devil's Rejects poster. Which it's like the Last Supper picture.
Oh, yeah.
I gave up on it, but there was a period where I was like, oh, I'm going to try to get everybody to sign this Devil's Rejects poster because everybody's in the movie.
Yeah.
So I figured it'd be like, you know, something that would take me a while. But I don't know. I think I gave up halfway through. I'm like, where am I really going to hang this Devil's Rejects poster up?
It is massive. I know the one you're talking is like a Subway poster.
Yeah, pretty much. Huge. And I'm like, what am I going to do with this thing?
See if it... Oh, that one says 96.
Yeah, they covered all these signs pretty well.
Yeah. Let's look on the wall over there. Let's see if you can see something. I think that might say Hoyt. See? Hoyt. See it? Read it?
Yeah.
It says Hoyt. That's Sonny Landman. Okay. Oh. This is Sonny Landman.
And he worked with Walter again after this.
He was like 48
hours.
The other bad guy in 48 Hours, him and James Remar.
That's right.
And he was also in Predator. He was the Indian
Oh,
dude.
That's right. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yep.
That was a cool little slow motion scene throwing the bat.
Yep. See, you can still see Hoyt right there.
Yeah.
Yeah. He didn't do it too good. But then again, you know, who's looking for that stuff? Total nerds like me.
Yeah, us.
Yeah. I'm looking for the mistakes and all this stuff. I always thought this one, Lizzie, kind of looked like Lily Taylor a little bit, you know, from The Conjuring.
Yeah.
A little bit.
I see it.
Slight. Like, really, guys, you had no clue that these chicks were lesbians. I mean, really, I mean, it's funny that the lamest dude in the bunch, Rembrandt, is the one that kind of catches on, you know.
Right.
They look like Paul Stanley there.
Yeah, he totally does. Put a little makeup on him. But, you know, it's 1980, and, you know.
I just keep expecting him at some point going, like, you like the taste of alcohol! You know what I mean?
It could be the ultimate director's cut, maybe.
Oh, yeah. We heard about you guys. Oh, yeah.
Now, it's funny how word got out about the Warriors, you know, because essentially they're kind of in on it or trying to hold them there, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, now that chick there looks like the singer of The Cult.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Ian Ashbury, like
that's
circa
right.
1988. I don't know.
Wow. Fire woman.
Yeah. Hiya. Yeah. Like, how do you cast this? Like, women who look like lesbians. See, nowadays they'd all have those butch haircuts.
Right.
Yeah. I like Terry. He does have some great lines. He's funny and his personality really kind of shines through his character.
Mm-hmm.
Fall out, take your pick. I'll take the one over there that looks like the singer of Placebo.
Yeah.
I like how she says that. With Lizzie's. I like it. It sounds like lesbian. I like it. It's great. It's like even their name is a dead giveaway, bro. Come on.
Yeah.
That's Dee Dee right there, the one he doesn't take.
Mm-hmm.
Poor Dee Dee.
Probably a mistake. Yeah, this guy kind of knows what's going on.
Yeah. I like it when the one Lizzie walks up to him and like says something to him, you know, and he just like He just kind of looks at, gives her a look, and walks away and looks at her again. There, it's I don't know. I don't know how to really put it, but just it's almost like we're kind of, it's not spoken, but mm-hmm. maybe his character is gay.
I mean,
I don't think it's intended that way. It might actually have been some of, you know, since the actor was gay,
mm-hmm.
maybe a little bit of his own personality shining through a little bit. You know, I've kind of, I said the same thing in regards to the what's his name? The main dude in Day of the Dead. That I always felt like that maybe there was some sort of like hidden thing that he was maybe having questioning his sexuality.
Right.
I didn't know if he purposely played it that way, but then later found out that the actor actually was gay, and maybe that's why he was just coming off that way a little bit.
Interesting.
I mean, just the way he's, you know, he talks and stuff in the movies, or like, you bitch, you know, or even from his opening lines, hello, you know, it's very kind of, I don't know if that was intended, if maybe the character of Rembrandt might've been gay and that's why he wasn't interested, or if he was really in tune to what was going on. I don't know.
Yeah. No, it's interesting.
You can be a total geek like me and try to dig into the hidden meanings of, maybe that's what was meant. I don't know.
Yeah.
I love the way this is lit. Really cool.
Yeah, and I thought these two had pretty good chemistry, even mm-hmm. though they're, you know, he's kind of the equivalent of like pulling the girl's hair in elementary school, pretending he doesn't really like her. And it's like, come on, she's a babe. You know you like her.
Yeah. And I really wonder if in the original script, if this was supposed to happen between her and Fox.
Because
I could see the Fox character being that, because he was also, they were very similar in that kind of cold, you know, like especially when they're talking to the orphans, and he kind of comes off that way, very sarcastic too, like, you know, maybe it's because, you know, they're scared of you kind of thing, very sarcastic. And,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, it's interesting.
That would have been a very different movie.
Have you never looked at the original script for this?
I've never seen the original script, no.
Hmm.
But I would definitely be interested in, you know, if, like I said, if they ever did a special edition, I would love to sit down with Walter Hill and just pick his brain and ask him a lot of these questions. I'd love to hear the story of exactly what went down that led up to his firing. And, you know, I mean, that's huge, right in the middle of a huge production.
Yeah.
To basically say, we're going to fire a main character and rewrite it.
Yeah.
You know, that's a big deal. So.
Yeah, I mean, they pulled it off flawlessly, though. Like, I never would have thought or suspected.
I mean, his death does seem slightly abrupt, but but not implausible, you know?
Yeah. When you do some of these reunions, do you, you know, have a lot of these cast members gotten together for panels and stuff like that? I mean, any fun stories that, you know, that they shared regarding the making of this movie? Or
I'm sure there has been, but quite honestly, well, my job at these conventions, while I'm sitting there with them all day when they're doing their signings and everything like that,
mm-hmm.
it's during the panels that is my chance to get a break and I can go grab lunch or, you know, walk around the convention and look at merchandise or something. So I tend to not attend the panels
mm-hmm.
just because, it's my only chance to get away and have a little downtime.
I'm sure you get all these stories from them anyways.
Yes. Have I asked them what happened with Thomas Waits, who played Fox? Yes, mm-hmm. I have. And, you know, apparently he was a little bit of a prima donna and difficult. And that ultimately led to him being replaced. And I think Thomas will even admit that if you talk to him about it. I believe he admits that even on the thing that he was difficult, but you know, he made it through that one.
Yeah.
Well, you know, as far as not being recast or anything, or I mean, he did die though. Funny, I was watching, I went and saw Gone Girl the other night, and the actor who played Palmer is the the main girl's father. This is the look I'm talking about. He's like, mm-hmm. Yeah, and he kind of looks back at her. Yeah. I just love that. He doesn't even like answer her. She's like, hey, little man, you know, whatever. And he just goes, He just walks over like, sister, please, you know. I mean, I like how they, like, the most butch girl, you know, she's got a scar on her face.
Yeah.
She's like, you know, this is the one you've sent over to try to arouse me. He's like, why are these two girls dancing together? Something's not right here.
Yeah. No, he knows. He knows the deal.
He knows. Why is her hair so short? Something's going on. You know?
It's going to go down.
Yeah.
This was a cool scene, too.
Yeah. It's all in his head. It's working. Ian Ashbury's pissed. Some, you know.
Oh, door's locked. And
yep, there's Dee Dee.
That's it.
Yeah. Well, it's going to give you all enough time, though, to react.
Man.
I love it when the one chick gets hit with a table. It looks really good. You know?
Yeah, it's pretty intense.
Yeah, here it comes. Or the chair. Ooh. Yeah. That's a great shot. I mean, you know. And these chicks are terrible shots.
Such small quarters.
Yeah. I mean, Dee Dee, I love you, but you're a terrible shot, girl.
Yeah.
I mean, you're in one small room. You couldn't hit him once.
I screwed that all up.
And then the one dude that at least was smart enough to know something was going on, he's the one who pays the price. He gets cut. She cut me. I love it. You know, he tells them, you know, when they all put it together here that they're after them. Mm-hmm. That every gang in the city is looking for them. It's like what? What'd you just say? you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Now, I'm sorry, but wouldn't at some point you go, hey, maybe it's a good idea to take these fucking vests off? let's go to a fucking Sears and buy some shirts real quick. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh, there it is. That's going to kill me every time. But yeah, just, you know what? Easy solution, take off your colors.
Yeah.
You know? But, you know.
The movie would be over early, though.
It wouldn't be as good a movie. And it's a pride thing. It's like, we are the Warriors. We are who we are. We'll live and die as the Warriors.
Yeah.
And there you go. So I respect that. I respect their stupidity. So. Apparently, this whole area here, I looked so hard for this area.
Mm-hmm.
And the little ramps where the guy on the skates are falling and everything. Apparently, it is at Union Station,
mm-hmm.
But it's completely been remodeled.
Okay.
And it's unrecognizable today, so, which is a bummer because I've always wanted to. I remember the one that I wanted to find the little area where the video games were.
Yeah.
Being such a video game nerd myself, old school games.
Yeah.
Now, this guy is a friend of Deborah Van Valkenburg's, and he wants to do a convention.
Oh, cool.
And I haven't found any takers, believe it or not. Hmm. I mean, you know, he doesn't speak a word, but he's a cool character. He's the leader of the Punks. That's the name of that gang.
Yeah.
They're called the Punks. And I'm assuming he's a very short man because he's still not as tall as some of the other guys and he's on skates. I personally would like to meet him.
Yeah.
I've got a Warriors poster with many a signature on it that could use another.
Sure.
And it, you know, it's so funny. As long as I've been doing this and as big of a fan as I am, I've never met one baseball Fury. Not one.
That's crazy.
I know.
You should get them out of hiding.
I know. If any of you guys are listening to this, I mean, come on, hit me up. Hook you up, brother. We need some proof, though, that you were really the guy. Because, you know.
Photographic evidence
will be required, or your name has to at least be in. I mean, the Furies are all credited, you know, so they'd be on there. Hey, what luck.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny how they keep bumping into each other, but yet they're not bumping into any of these hundreds of gangs that are looking for them.
Yeah.
They've gotten lucky. you went out swinging.
I'm like getting wrapped up in watching the movie.
I know. It's hard. It's hard not to. Such a good movie.
Yeah. Yeah, did you ever get to see this theatrically on the big screen?
Not when it first came out. Yeah. I've gone to many, many revival screenings.
Mm-hmm.
So I've seen it theatrically several times. I mean, couldn't even tell you how many times. I pretty much used to go to every time it would play.
Right.
Just because it's such a... Really, it's one of those films that just looks so beautiful, widescreen. And, you know, it just... You know, some films you see theatrically, you know, even a 35 millimeter print, it's a letdown. It just doesn't, you know, maybe it was a really soft looking picture or something.
Mm-hmm.
This is just a great, colorful, amazing looking film.
Yeah. So. No, it's great. And it's great with an audience.
Oh, yeah.
It still works despite its time period.
Yeah. I mean, you watch it today and, you know, you feel the energy of the people really loving the movie, but then it gets a lot of laughs that were unintentional,
mm-hmm.
you know, but for the most part, people aren't clowning it. It still works. It still holds up.
Yeah.
You know, you know, this bathroom that they go into, was a set.
Yeah. I was wondering if this was all location stuff or there was some stuff in sets, but obviously yeah. This was a set.
To my knowledge, this was the only set built for this film was this restroom.
Hmm.
Other than that, everything was practical locations.
And I imagine it's because of kind of the intricate way it's shot and executed.
Yeah, and the fact that they, you know, they smash sinks and they smash bathroom stalls. They, you know, they beat the shit out of this bathroom, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Terry, the comic relief. Yeah, look at that. He's still shorter than all those dudes. And he's on skates.
Skates, yeah.
But I just love how he just glides in, you know? Just the way he just kind of glides. It's such a cool idea, yeah. The roller skates. I mean, look at that dude, man. Look how he's got to be a good 2 feet shorter than that dude behind him, man. Jeez, come on.
Yeah, he's the shortest of the bunch. Maybe that's why they put him on skates.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if it was scripted that he have skates, but I just love how he just glides back and forth, you know, in front right here. And, mm-hmm. and he kind of turns around and just kind of goes to each side, you know. It's really this very elegant, you know. And, yeah, this, you know, backwards. Kind of, yeah. You know, it's like if Michael Myers was on skates, you know what I mean? That'd be great, right? I mean... So
this is an awesome scene, awesome fight.
Yeah. It's like, okay, let's all go get striped shirts and like that big dude. He's clearly looking over. He can see the dude, right? He's looking yeah. in the yeah, stall. Yeah. So yeah. there shouldn't be a big surprise when he opens the door. He's big enough that he's looking in. that he should have been ready for that. I'm sorry.
I think he's a little slow, that really big yeah. guy.
There's a reason he's not playing professional football or basketball. You know, and they did a lot of their own stunts in this.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look closely, you can see it's the guys. Yeah. You know? I mean, there's rarely an occasion where it's a stand-in.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Which, I wonder, do you know much about the budget? Was this like considered a low budget movie? Because it seems pretty big, at least in scale. So he must have had some money to make this thing, I would guess.
You know, I don't know what the budget was off the top of my head. And another thing, a lot of the main gangs, like the Furies and these guys here,
mm-hmm.
they were stuntmen.
Oh, okay.
So they just cast stuntmen as the gang members.
Yeah, it's smart. That's a great shot.
Yeah. Obviously, the gangs like the Turnball ACs and the ones that really don't do anything except for maybe run and yell,
mm-hmm.
those were the real gang guys.
Yeah.
But the ones who have to really physically fight, they cast stunt guys. I mean, yeah, this bathroom just got totally worked. If this was a real bathroom,
yep.
Like, ah!
I'm surprised there hasn't been like a comic book or something I mean, considering the comic panels in this version.
Yeah.
But I feel like this world actually does lead itself to comic books. It could have been some sort of story.
The video game was very popular.
You know, I mean, I'm so out of touch when it comes to video games. Have you played the video game? How does it tie into the movie?
Is it
like a sequel or is it?
It's just it's pretty much the movie. You're fighting your way back home.
Mm-hmm.
It was really cool. I mean, I'm not a modern gamer, but I bought a system and that game just for that game.
And I mean, a lot of the cast came back and did their voices again, though, right?
Yeah, actually. That's cool. This guy looks like sort of modern day hipster. Guy who played Cyrus, Roger Hill, he actually sued them because they used his voice without his authorization.
Oh, it was like his dialogue from the movie?
Yeah. Where the other guys all came back and did it. And I think he refused, and then they just used his dialogue, so he sued them.
Yeah.
I don't recall what the outcome of that was, but he was not happy.
Mm.
In fact, I don't think he would even autograph the games if somebody brought them up to him. There's some people that are weird like that. I mean, I personally don't think it makes any sense. Like the guys who, this is kind of going off topic a little bit here, but the three Hansen brothers from Slapshot, they are pissed off about the McFarlane action figures.
Why?
Because they didn't get paid for them and had no say-so whatsoever in them. And if you bring those figures to them at a convention, they refuse to sign them.
Wow.
And to me, you know, if they're pissed that they didn't get paid for them, this is your chance to get paid for them. You're being paid to sign them.
Yeah.
So what are, you know, by not signing a fan's action figure, what kind of stand are you taking? It really doesn't make any sense. You're not hurting.
The fan loses out.
Yeah, the fan loses out. You're not hurting McFarlane Toys. They've already sold the toy. Yeah. The fan owns it. You know, I think it's kind of a silly thing. I mean, as a fan of Slapshot, I was disappointed I couldn't get my figure signed.
Yeah.
Because I collect action figures, and I tend to like to get them autographed if I can find the real people. So.
Yeah, but, I mean, yeah, if anyone appreciates your work in any capacity, it's worth acknowledging. And, you know, I have actor friends that say, like, look, there's movies that I did that I don't really like much, but if somebody came up to me and dug it and wanted it signed, he's like, of course I'm going to sign it because they like something in it, you know?
Yeah.
It's out of my hands at that point. Like, they got paid for the work and they did it, and now it's up to other people to, you know, what they think of it.
Yeah. I love these guys. Those are some amazing suits.
Now, are they there? That's the like prom dates, right? Or
it looks like it.
Or is that just a traditional double date in 1980 New York?
I'm assuming with the corsage being dropped like and everything, it must have prom been a prom. Style. Yeah.
Despite you.
Yeah. Doing it because Walter Hill hates me.
I don't get the...
Down to Coney. So funny, the Stillwell Avenue station, which is the actual station at Coney Island. What is the purpose of this? Why are you doing this? Anyway, this is the actual station. I remember when I first went there, I walked off. I stood there and I said, this is what we fought all night to get back to. I had to do it. You know, I was like, I mean, it's like, you know.
Of course.
You just kind of have to do it. But, I mean, yeah, if you're a fan of the Warriors, you have to go to Coney Island. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just, it's a must. I'm sure you've been, right?
Being an
East Coast guy.
Yeah.
Were you familiar with the Warriors while you were there, or it was just a regular let's just go to Coney kind of thing?
Go to Coney, stop at Nathan's.
I don't know where this point of view is shot, but it's not from that platform. I tried to find it.
Yeah.
Yeah, Nathan's is, I'm a grape pie myself, man. Myself,
I love Gray's as well.
Yeah, Gray's is great, but Nathan's is good. I like Gray's better.
All right.
You, do you have a preference?
I might like Nathan's a little more, but Gray's is the right price.
What about
Gray's? Griff? Is nice and cheap.
Are you familiar with Criff?
No, I don't know Criff.
Criff dogs. It's so funny. Norman Reedus was been wearing this hat recently, and I was like, "What?" And I looked at it, and I realized it was a Criff dog hat from the hot dog place that's in the Village, I think.
Okay.
And I've been once. An old friend of mine took me there because he was swearing it was the best hot dog in New York. It was not.
Okay.
It's decent. It's good.
Is that why Reedus wears the hat?
He thinks somebody gave him that. He didn't even know what it was. So I said, "Dude, oh, Criff." And he's like, "What? What are you talking about?" And I'm like, "It's a hot dog place." He's like, "No, it's not." I'm like, "Yeah, it is." And he looked it up and he goes, "Oh, it is." Like, you've been wearing this hat promoting this hot dog place. You have no idea what you're wearing.
Yeah.
He still wears it. He was wearing it this weekend, so.
It was pretty funny.
Yeah. He just likes the hat.
Oh, and he has to go eat there at some point.
Yeah. Which he won't. He just, you know, the hat will be retired before he ever thinks about it. It's funny. Like, we were in Detroit this one time. We were at a bar, and he liked this guy's, you know, regular Detroit Tigers hat.
Mm-hmm.
Just it has the D on it, you know?
Yeah.
And he said he liked the guy's hat, and the guy traded him for whatever hat he was wearing. And he wore this friggin' Tigers hat for like a year. And then everybody started bringing him Detroit Tigers stuff like he was a fan, and he isn't a fan.
It was just he liked the hat.
Yeah.
It's pretty funny.
So there's that Stotch's Baths. That's the bathhouse. If you were to walk around to the left, which is the part that's on the boardwalk. That is the famous shot image that you've seen of them standing in front of a building that says the Warriors spray painted on it.
Yeah.
That famous press photo, which is also seen in the TV version.
Yeah.
But yeah, this bathhouse has long been torn down.
And I can't remember where I heard this tidbit, but this was something that he improvised, whole Warriors thing, whatever, with the bottles.
Yeah, what a genius improv, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's become the iconic, you know, I'd say it's second to Can You Dig It?
Yeah.
But still, the whole Warriors come out and play thing, I mean, probably equally as quoted as Can You Dig It, you know?
Yeah.
Just so creepy, his little voice. Come and play! He gets up there. He's really... I wish the outtakes existed of every take he did.
Oh my God,
I would sit there for an hour and watch him just do every version of it, you know?
He's such an intense actor in general.
Yeah.
So he kind of scares me in this movie. Yeah.
He does a lot of Broadway acting these days.
Yeah.
I look at the very end, and we'll get to it. It's you know, why'd you do it? Why'd you waste Cyrus? No reason. I just like doing things like that. You know, just the way he talks. He's great.
It's amazing.
You know?
Yeah, it's kind of funny. Like, you wish there was more to it almost, but it's like, nope, just because.
I was bored. You know, I want to know where that car is. Who's got that car?
Yeah.
I want that car. Now, nobody knows where this is either. It more than likely is long gone, this little walkway thing that you just see for a second.
Mm-hmm.
Because that could be anywhere in the world. You can't see anything. There's nothing, you know. We're assuming it's on the beach, but God only knows where that was. But nobody knows where that is. and who knows exactly where on the beach this was shot. but I've looked, as you can see in the water, there's those that back there.
Yeah.
I mean, you know that shit's long gone.
Yeah.
I mean, it was probably gone 2 years after this was filmed, washed away. It looks like the remnants of a small pier of some sort. But, yeah, nobody knows for sure where this was shot. But, you know, I don't always get things right. I screw things up. I was recently corrected about my episode of The Howling that's on the Blu-ray.
Okay.
Where I'm at the beach and I say this is where the party was. Mm-hmm. From The Howling, it wasn't the right beach.
Oh, really?
No, a fan sent me pictures of the correct beach, and I just assumed that maybe over time, erosion, and that's why it didn't look the same.
Yeah, yeah.
But he sent me photos, and I was like, yep, that's definitely it. and I was like, I want to go on record to say Joe Dante himself told me this is where it was shot.
Right.
So if I can't believe the director, who can I believe, you know?
Yeah.
And of course, Joe Dante misled me.
Yeah, so, maybe he didn't remember correctly. Yeah. That's kind of amazing.
Yeah.
It always gets a big reaction.
He was pointing at him.
Yeah.
The gun went off. Somebody would have been hit. Look, they're all standing there. That bullet must have whizzed right between two of them.
Yeah. The Warriors are lucky, man. Very, very lucky.
Yeah. They're God's gang.
Now, excuse my naivety, but you mentioned earlier about, you know, stuff online about the Warriors and locations and stuff like that. Is there a big fan site, or is there a lot of Warriors kind of stuff online that you know you check out or anything like that?
Well, there is an unofficial Warriors webpage that has tons of stuff on it, mm-hmm. and I believe has links to a lot of locations articles. And there are fans that have done locations articles,
mm-hmm.
so there's tons of information out there. I mean, of course, I would say get the issue of Whorehound of my article.
Mm-hmm. Which I will look up and mention in the description for this commentary.
Yeah. Anyhow, it's... it wasn't us. It was them. It's almost like he's hearing impaired. He'll go, them. You know. There's tons of info out there. I mean, you definitely don't have to read my article to get it.
Yeah.
Let's see here. I'm actually trying to look up what issue my article was in. I'll find out real quick. It was... Yeah. I'd hate to be these guys right now.
I know, right?
They're about to get their ass beat, yo. They about to get their ass beat.
I think they're going to get killed. I don't know.
That's what you hear. And I will say this. I had to fight Nathan Hanneman, almost physically fight him to let me do the Warriors in Whorehound magazine.
Because right.
It's not a horror movie.
Technically not. But yeah. Again, horror fans really dig this movie, too. It's got something, some sort of sensibility that appeals to them too.
It's just, it's a crossover. It's got crossover appeal,
mm-hmm.
you know? Issue number 39. So not that long ago, cause we're about to do issue 50.
Mm-hmm.
Issue 39 is my Warriors article. But yeah, it's like I did Clockwork Orange. It's not a horror film, but it's a cult film with crossover appeal.
Yeah,
you know?
For sure.
I mean, you can argue a lot of horror films aren't horror films, you know? I mean, so, I mean,
you
ruined the fucking end credit.
The
this
beautiful
is one of,
final shot.
The final shot of them walking away with In the City by Joe Walsh playing. I mean.
And the credits. Oh, that's terrible.
I mean,
it's so terrible.
Dude, that is, I mean, I forgot about this. I mean, like I said, this is the second time I've seen it. Lynn Thigpen was the DJ. I knew it was something Thigpen. One thing I love about the credits is as the credits are going, it stays on them walking forever.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of a beautiful shot. Joel Weiss, he was the other rogue, the one I was telling you about that I see often.
Yeah. And you wonder like, how long did they go on this take?
Before? Yeah.
Cause it goes for a really long time.
And it's a great shot. What is redeeming about what we're looking at right here? Nothing.
Terrible.
It's
pretty awful.
Dee Dee Benray. I couldn't remember her last name. The Lizzie.
We got it all now.
Yeah.
Well, not including this director's cut, but the original theatrical. So is this, what is this in your maybe top five of all time? One of your all time favorites or top 10, top five?
As far as favorite movies?
Sure.
It's in my top 10 for mm-hmm. sure. It's. Yeah. I mean, you know, in my top 10, The Shining, Clockwork Orange, Halloween, Jaws, The Warriors, you know, those are some right there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's well, stunt coordinator Craig Baxley. I noticed Craig Baxley was one of the punks. I just noticed that. And his brother was also one of the punks. But the guy who was on the skates, his name's Conrad something. Mm-hmm. He was the one on the skates.
Craig Baxley, was that the guy that directed I Come in Peace?
Oh, shit. That'd be crazy if it was.
I'm pretty sure, because he comes from a family of stunt coordinators, if I'm
really?
Not mistaken. Yeah.
Hmm.
I'll try to confirm that.
That would be a cool little connection. Let's talk to him. I want my Warriors poster signed. it's funny as
was him, in fact.
It was him. Fucking A, right on.
He did a couple Stephen King things. He did Rose Red and Storm of the Century.
Storm of the Century is good.
Director, yeah.
Storm of the Century is one of the better TV
King
ones.
King movies, yeah.
Yeah. It's funny, you know, that every once in a while you learn something new that you didn't know. Like, I never knew that. That's cool.
Yeah. Well, we're coming up to the end here.
To the end. A classic.
Well, Sean, I want to thank you for watching The Warriors Director's Cut with me. And
thank you
pointing
for
out the differences. And
thank you for acknowledging my geekdom.
anything else that we should close on?
I don't know.
Well, if you're still here, thank you for listening. Really appreciate it. You could find Sean within the pages of Horror Hound. Mm-hmm. And you're on Twitter and Facebook.
Twitter,
and stuff, right?
At Malfunction.
Mm-hmm.
And Facebook and Instagram and all that crap. Malfunction.
There you go.
Instead of Malfunction, T-I-O-N, change it to S-E-A-N. That's me.
Find him. Find him and follow him. And I'm sure if you go to the conventions, you'll probably bump into this gentleman at some point. So.
And if you didn't listen to this whole thing, you're just fucking a wimp.
Exactly. Thanks again, man. We'll see you soon.